Now, back to Mike Adams.
Well, we have the latest beef and pork export numbers, and here with those numbers and some analysis of them is Aaron Bohr, economist with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. All right, Aaron, thank you for joining us. How do the latest numbers look?
All right, thanks, Mike. I would say continued improvement. This year, we look at month-on-month change, which is not typical. We usually look year-on-year, but given obvious crazy circumstances, we look back month on month for beef up 36% compared to June and pork up 7% compared to June, which pork never decreased as hard as beef. So that's part of that difference. And so an encouraging sign, although still below year ago levels for beef and dipping below year ago for pork. So clearly challenges, but improving trends, and the weekly data through August showed that that's continued, and especially for beef, continuing to increase the momentum, and for pork, a bit of a tick higher, and for pork, it's been a shift, had been a shift more to Mexico being our largest destination, again, followed by China, and a reversal of what we've been seeing. So lots of, go ahead.
Yeah, getting better, but still below a year ago. Is this all COVID-related or mostly COVID-related?
Yeah, I mean, we always forget how long it takes for these big shocks in the system to reverberate through. So even though our production has rebounded strongly and been above year ago, especially in the case of pork for, you know, several months now, it still takes time to get that price and demand shock kind of through the system. And so for pork, you're talking down just 2% on year ago. It was just such a change in trend when we kind of gotten used to seeing double-digit increases year on year. And again, that was a big shift of seeing the slowdown to China and Hong Kong, which their offtake was basically the lowest since last October. And things like the carcass business to China dropped to the lowest since it began basically last June. And so some significant shifts in kind of the business as well as getting through those supply chain shocks, which especially hit on the beef side when, remember, we had the prices spike. And so it takes time for the market to sort all of that out. And the other thing that's going on here that's still impacting is just labor shortages. So even though we're running these plants much closer to capacity, packers aren't able to produce some of these more value-added items and even to save variety meats. So we've seen big decreases, beef variety meats down 16% year on year, pork down 25%. Part of that is just simply not having the production. So we know there's demand, for example, for things like livers as an affordable protein source and other variety meats that just aren't being able to be saved. Livers is probably a bad example there. We can typically save them and ship them out, but other more intensive variety meats, labor-intensive variety meats that aren't getting saved. So you're not able to produce some of these higher value, higher margin items. Another example would be things like single rib bellies on the pork side for Japan. And so it's still a labor scarcity issue that's also impacting on availability for export items.
We're talking with U.S. Meat Export Federation economist Aaron Bohr. That's interesting, and we've heard this from others, that it's not so much a demand situation now as it is a labor situation. Not only keeping workers healthy in these plants, but can you attract more workers to come work in these plants, or are they concerned about potential health risks and are staying away? So this is a huge issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other interesting thing, if you want to put it more in a positive light, is that the real significant impact as far as our plants being down or limited production, that hit here in North America, especially Canada and the U.S., earlier than basically the rest of the world. So we kind of got through that. And even though we're still dealing with, limited labor, like we're talking, we're operating much closer to capacity. And the COVID issues kind of hit many of our competitors later. So plants across Europe, across South America, especially in Brazil. You know, you've been reading about impacts there after we had mostly gotten through it. So in a sense, you could look at it as us having or having returned to our supply advantage fairly quickly and being a bit ahead of the game. So hopefully that's kind of a tailwind. And then the other point there on the kind of supply side is Australia, our big competitor on the beef side, not having COVID-related issues in plants per se, especially not hitting the export business, but they're, of course, in strong herd rebuild after the 2 years of intense drought, and their exports really slowed. They were down by more than 20% in both July and August, and so we'd been expecting this, but we're really just starting to see the impacts of U.S. beef being very competitive in the Asian markets and seeing strong interest and demand for U.S. beef going into basically the end of this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you then. Are you optimistic that we're going to see a strong finish to the year on our meat exports?
I am. And, you know, I had kind of gotten really pessimistic and then had some conversations with our international staff and honestly, especially China. And just as of late last week when we were on with our China team, they were pretty bullish. And that's a big change in tone out of them over the past 10 days or 2 weeks. And so finally seeing strong buying interest out of China and this partially being ahead of Chinese New Year. So we'd kind of been wondering, expecting that interest to pick up and just debating on how strong it would be. And the read out of, again, our boots on the ground is that there's really strong interest in China on both the beef and the pork side. And again, the Australia factor playing in big there. You know, Australia has dominated that grain-fed market. And now there's a paucity of supplies, plus you have about six really important Australian plants suspended from China. So they need our beef. And then interest resuming on the pork side, which sounds quite strong. And you saw those sales numbers show up in last week's report. Everyone will be watching the report, which comes out weekly exports, as you know, on Friday because of the holiday of this week. But hopefully seeing that sustained buying on the pork side as well for China. And that kind of shifts the tone and impacts the rest of the world, of course, and to being more bullish and hopefully supporting prices as well, because everyone around the world is watching this China demand factor, knowing what a behemoth they are in the meat markets.
Yeah, trying to see how they rebound from African swine fever, which I guess they're still dealing with in some cases, and some of the other problems they've had with floods and things like that. So we see them stepping up their purchases, even though still behind where we'd like to see it, but they've increased their purchases of like corn and soybeans, sorghum as of late. So you think we're going to see stronger purchases of meat products from them, beef and pork, here the last part of the year?
Yes, exactly. That's our expectation. And again, that would be somewhat seasonal. And yes, as you're alluding to, I mean, we know they're dramatically, say, below the purchase commitments in the phase one agreement. What we've tried to reiterate is that beef is an important part of that. And the meat products is where we actually had seen the strongest growth. And yes, recently seeing the jump in China's corn prices, which I think is a mix of both supply or their crop and demand, knowing that there is greater feed demand. But hopefully seeing strong Chinese purchases of all commodities into the end of the year. But definitely we do expect that to hold for beef and pork. And for pork, it's going to be hard to beat year ago. But even if we see that trend higher seasonally into the end of the year with some modest growth, I have total U.S. pork exports ending this year up at least 16% and possibly getting up 18-20%, just depending on how big that basically China run is in the fourth quarter when our production is also, of course, peaking. So we really do need that China carcass business at that time. And for beef, maybe within 4% of year ago.
You have to put everything in perspective of the COVID world we're living in, right, as far as where these numbers come and compared to other years. It's kind of, you have to look at where you're at, where you're going, and I would say even though they're down from a year ago, considering the headwinds that we've been facing, It's probably better than we could have maybe thought if you said we're going to face a worldwide pandemic and economy shutting down and things like this. So a matter of perspective, but we'll hope for that strong finish to the year. Aaron, thank you very much for the numbers. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Aaron Bohr, economist with the U.S. Meat Export Federation.